under the circumstances, or actually with a question mark, under the circumstances. I'll start with a little history lesson, and I'm sure you've heard this story, or if not, it's a fun story. 1815, the Battle of Waterloo, and just a quick lead-in. Napoleon had been exiled to Elba, had escaped, had gathered quite a formidable force behind him, about 30,000 troops, and was battling his way back to control. And England sent the Duke of Wellington to fight him, and that was at Waterloo. And the means of communication was literally flags, like the Morse code. And as England waited for the results, they all gathered around the steeples in their town because they sent flags literally from steeple to steeple. Winchester Cathedral was one of those steeples. And at the end of the battle, as you can imagine, it was a lengthy message. Any message took quite a while to send. So, you know, these guys are flagging literally across the English Channel. Welling, well, ling, 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 dun, dun, dun. Defeated. Went across the country. And at that point, a very thick, dense fog rolled in. So it appeared that the message was over. So Wellington defeated went through the countryside. And people just panicked. I mean, they ran home, they boarded up their houses, they gathered their kids, they gathered ammunition anticipating this invasion from Napoleon after defeating Wellington. And as the fog or the mist cleared, the rest of the message came through. The enemy. Wellington defeated the enemy. But how we're so quick to react to our immediate circumstance. And not too long ago, we had Y2K, you know. And, you know, the same message could be, you know, Y2K has come, and then the mist rolls in. And then when it goes away, has come and gone, and nothing happened. You know, I mean, we had a 55-gallon drum of water on the back porch. I had a whole cabinet full of beans. I still have some of the beans. We were ready, but we're so quick to react to our circumstances. Nay, in all these things, we are to be more than conquerors in him that loved us. I had a restaurant a while back that closed, and we had some struggles with the IRS. And we were on a payment plan trying to pay down this crazy debt. Actually, I think I owed them $30,000. And after a year and a half of paying like $200 a month, I owed them $40,000. Go figure. But in any event, they lost their records or something, and Maria got a call late one day from the bank and said the IRS just sent us some paperwork, but they had to take it back. It was the wrong paperwork, but they're putting a levy on your accounts. But they sent us employer paperwork or something, but just wanted to forewarn you. And I'm not too familiar with levies and liens, but I think a lien is where they can literally where the government can take a portion of your income. But a levy, they freeze your accounts. So we had this foreknowledge of it's coming through tomorrow where they're going to freeze our accounts. And for whatever reason, praise God, we prayed about it. We had a tremendous peace. We actually went to an antique auction that night, went out to dinner, didn't touch our accounts, didn't pull our money out, went down to the federal building there in Addison and just prayed over the entryway there. We prayed over this guy we never met before. And I mean, you know, if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies lay down in front and before him. This could not have been a more pleasant experience. The guy came down full of apologies. We made a mistake, Mr. Gennetto, by noon today. Whatever levies will be released. The whole process was incredible. At one point, we had to go downtown Dallas, and I don't forget the other guy's name. But, I mean, it was at the point where, Mr. Gennetto, don't even park. I'll run down to the curb, and you can just sign the papers. You know, I mean, it was just an incredible experience. And all we did was just pray upon these people. I mean, like, major prayer. You know, we're so willing, we're so quick. I mean, and I just offer that because it's not that way all the time. I mean, you know, we reacted to those circumstances as we should all the time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And what's interesting about sound mind in the Greek, it's self-control, curb, disciple, hold to one's duty. So for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind. Hold to our duty. You know, discipline ourselves for wanting to go buy the beans, you know, or, you know, board up our houses. You know, our circumstances aren't real. I mean, it's not what the outcome. If we it is if we try to do it ourselves. We're under the circumstances. It's kind of an interesting saying because we're not supposed to be under our circumstances. We're supposed to be over our circumstances. For we have not received the spirit of bondage leading to fear again, but of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the fear in that context means wrestling, struggling. So, for we have not received a spirit of bondage leading to struggling again. And the word again is key. Struggling again, over and over again. But of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Wellington defeated. Abba, Father. You know, the IRS is applying levies, whatever those are, to Abba, Father. You know? For the heavens are higher than the earth. So are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my plan. And I'm gonna. What do you call that when you add something? I'll just take a little privilege here. What is it? Commentary. For the heavens are higher than the earth. For my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my plans are greater than your plans. You know, we always try to help. We always try to get involved. Remember Uzzah? The ark, you know, it's falling. I'll help. You're dead. I don't need your help. We so want to help. We're all oozes. I know I'm an oozer. I can't speak for anyone else, but I want to help. I want to try to do it myself. God has a plan for each one of us, far beyond anything we can come up with. If we are focused on our plan, we lose sight of His plan. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Very seldom reference book, Amos 3:3. Can two walk together? Walk in the Hebrew is proceed. Live or die, a manner of life. And agreed is meet, gather, betroth. It's pretty interesting. Because betrothal was a contract to wed. Can two people live together, a way of life, unless they are agreed, meant together, contracted to be together? You know, and that's us and God. Can two people walk together? You know, that footprints in the sand thing? You know, God, where were you? Well, I was there. You were lost. You weren't there. You know, can we walk together? Can we succeed? Can we defeat the circumstances when we're not knit with God, with His plan? At work, we do a department head meeting, and you know, after being in the business so long, department head meetings are probably the most boring, droning, agonizing things you can go to. It's the same agenda. You know, in my world, we review occupancy, we review average daily revenue, we review guest comments. I mean, it's just, oh my goodness. And every hotel, it's the same. And in this hotel that I'm at now, the Gaylord is very innovative, very exciting, want to change things. So I recommended, let's just change this thing. Let's just throw it away. Let's just remove the meeting, have it at different times of the week, different times of the day, have a reception on occasion. We did it on a boat. We did it in a garage. have departments introduce themselves. It's a very large hotel, and there's some people I've only met once. I've been there almost a year, 8 months. And that's what we've been doing. And last Wednesday, I got in the car. It's an 8:15 meeting. I got in the car about 8:35. Not a care in the world, just looking at my watch going, oh my goodness, it's Wednesday. It was in my department that day. And I live 30 miles away. Okay, so anytime, usually if I get in the car past 7:30, I'm very rarely there before 8:30. I mean, even on 190, it's just a slow trickle. So, all right, I accept the challenge, I'll make it. And of course, I look at my gas gauge and it's on E. I mean, it is on E. E and the arrow just E. I mean, not even, you know, sometimes you wait a while, it moves. This baby wasn't moving. Okay, so here I am. Now it's like 8:40. At 7:40, I have to be in the building by 8:15 without any gas. Abba, Father, what do I do? Stay focused on the prize. He literally said, put your hand at 10 and 2 and look forward and go. What an exhilarating ride that was. 30 miles, never stopped for gas, never pulled over. And those of you that use 190, for some reason, there's no gas stations off the highway. You have to get off and like go into Carrollton or go down Frankfort or Preston. There's nothing like right there. We could just zip in and off. I never got gas. I never stopped. I got in the building at 8:10. Got a cup of coffee. And we're in my break room. Philip, are you ready? Yes, ma'am. And there we go, 8:15. All his plan, not mine. My plan is, how do I get gas? What do I do? How do I make excuses? Get somebody. I mean, I'm thinking of all these things. Call an assistant, stand in my place. I mean, all these things are going through my head. And all I had to do was just drive. Just ask him. Just focus on the prize. Stay focused. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. Oh, I'm walking on water. Boy, it's getting windy. What happens? You know what I mean? Don't look at your circumstances. Under the circumstances? In that case, I was over the circumstances. By his will, by his grace, by his mercy, nothing I did. When it comes to God's individual plan for us, nothing in the past is equal to the present. And nothing in the present can possibly equal the future. Tomorrow should be so exciting to us and so filled with holy expectations that we should be burning flames of excitement. I mean, after that experience, I mean, I should have been, wow, what's tomorrow going to bring? You know, and of course I wasn't. But, shouldn't we be that way? I mean, here is a physical example. That needle never moved. I mean, it never moved. 30 miles, I mean, that's at least 2 gallons of gas. It never moved. You know, and it's nothing I did. That was a supernatural intervention. You know, and the next day should be even more exciting if this statement has any truth to it, and I believe it does. Nothing in the past is equal to the present. Nothing in the present can possibly equal the future. So if that happened today, my goodness, what's going to happen tomorrow? They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and Holy Spirit. God has privileged us through Jesus Christ to live above the ordinary. Stephen, one day just an ordinary guy. And then the next day, extraordinary, under the Holy Spirit's anointing. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. As we get deeper with God, as our relationship grows, as we rely on him, as I did in that car that day, with complete abandon. I had no plan. I could have easily run out of gas. I mean, physically, I should have run out of gas. I should have just putt off to the side of the highway and gotten to work at 11 o'clock. But I didn't even think about it. I didn't even, you know, after he gave me that peace, I no longer allowed the circumstances to control my thoughts. I no longer thought about failure. I was focused on the prize. Focused on the prize. Focused on finishing the race. Not the obstacles to get to the end or the hurdles. Just the end, finish, that the word says, finish, look at the prize. And when you do that, you don't see the hurdles. When you do that, you don't feel the wind. You don't hear the jeers. Stephen was chosen to serve tables, which I can relate to, and was later called to a higher plane. Stephen lost sight of the natural. And the natural, of course, is circumstances, and fixed his sight on Jesus, fixed his gaze on Jesus. And if you remember in Acts, it was so fixed on Jesus that the Pharisees fixed their gaze on him, and he looked like an angel. Why do you look like an angel? Because he was fixed on Jesus. I mean, you've seen these movies and reenactments of what that must have been like, and I'm sure it was very, very close to reality. These Pharisees just screaming and yelling and gnashing their teeth, and I mean, it had to be a horrible environment to be right in the center of. But he looked like an angel. I mean, it was driving him crazy. Why was that? Because he was fixed on Jesus. He was transformed into a shining light in the kingdom of God. Stephen was an ordinary person who was in a place where God could move in him so that he could affect those around him. He began in a humble place and ended in a blaze of glory. Dare we believe like Stephen believed? Dare we take our inheritance as God promised us? Dare we stand on a record of his word in the Bible and in our own lives? I mean, that 130 minutes is just one little story. And I'm sure we all have stories of when we actually relied on him and he came through as he said he would. You know, dare we do that every day, every second? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There's always a way out. It's never as bad as it seems. We had a houseman are the guys that set up all the tables and chairs for the events. We have about 100 of them. And this one guy, we got a call that he attempted suicide about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. His wife had left him, and he was just beside himself. And we desperately tried to get him back to work, and he came back to work. And we got a hold of this guy, and I prayed with him through a translator, and, you know, just, it's not as bad as it seems. You will get over this. Tomorrow will be better than today. We got him into an employee assistance program, EAP, and he sought some counseling, and this guy is happy as a clam. I mean, his smile touches his ears. His name is Nixon. And it wasn't just me. There were several of us that counseled him, but we grabbed this guy from the jaws of death. You know, and my message was him, just don't focus on today. Trust me, tomorrow's going to be better. It gets better. It's not as bad as it seems. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. By believing God and his word, we are literally taken out of this world. And if you remember Jesus' last prayer, before he was arrested, I do not pray that you should take them out of this world. Isn't that powerful? Father, I do not pray that you take them out of this world. Why? Because they're not of this world. What a silly prayer that would be. They're not of this world. I do not pray that you should take them out of this world, for they are not of this world. That same prayer applies to us. Don't take us out of the circumstances. It doesn't matter. We're not in these circumstances. We're at a higher plane. When you come to this place in the Word, you truly realize He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Right after. Okay. Right after. How did Jesus respond when they asked him what the greatest commandment was? You shall love your God, your Father, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. It should really be loving with all your mind, because that's what gets in the way. The heart and soul is easy. It's the mind that gets in the way. Love him with all you've got. And there's no circumstances that will overcome you. You will never be under circumstances. You'll always be over the circumstances. He is mightier than all the powers of darkness, mightier than the powers of disease, mightier than the powers of any circumstances this world has to offer. You know, the sun, we're going to have a little science lesson to go with the history lesson, second period. The sun is 150 million kilometers away, and its energy is so powerful that if we could harness just 1 minute of the sun's energy that hits the earth, 1 minute, that's enough energy to supply the whole world for a year. Think about that for a second. It's hard to wrap your mind around. One minute of the sun's rays that hit the earth 150 million miles away, if that could be harnessed, channeled, and captured, and distributed, it could service the whole world for a year, the energy. Our God is greater than that sun.
Amen.
Our God is greater than a trillion suns.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's... I'm preaching myself. I mean, God so wants us to be extraordinary. The world is filled with ordinary people. I mean, he wants us to be extraordinary. And all we have to do is believe. I mean, it's all here. This is a love letter. This is a roadmap. This is a directional piece. This is a, what do you get that thing? A triptych.
Yeah.
Triptych. Triple A. This is a triptych. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What I liked about that is the word whole. Put on the whole armor. Every bit of it. Not just, don't leave anything out. You know, and that leaving out thing is us. You know, no man can serve two masters. That scripture, you know, refers to mammon. But what about us? No man can serve two masters. Sometimes we want to serve ourselves. And that's what gets in the way. So we might be putting on that armor, but we forget the helmet. You know, we might forget the breastplate. We may have the sword, but we may forget the shoes. You know, because we got in the way. It was our plan that got in the way. We didn't stick to his plan. We had the triptych. You know how they used to flip like this? We skipped a couple pages. And we got in trouble. And there's no, a little more in that scripture, there's no backplate, which I love. There's no protection in the back. There's nothing back there. Everything's forward. Everything's moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, 6. Hunger in the Greek is to suffer want, to suffer want, to create ardently, to seek with eager desire. Blessed are those who hunger, who want it so badly, they're suffering, and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And thirst is to suffer thirst. And this is a direct translation from the Greek, to suffer thirst. That's a little more meaty than just, you know, I want to drink. Suffering thirst, who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. Blessed are those who hunger for and thirst for righteousness, who thirst for the Word of God, who painfully feel their want of and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. Man, that's powerful. That's more than just quenching your thirst. I mean, that's long-lasting. That's everlasting. Be filled, in the Greek, is to fatten, to satisfy, to fulfill the desire, any desire that you could possibly have. So when you go back to the original translation, it's just so powerful. Blessed are those who suffer. Blessed are those who painfully want the Word of God, for they shall be filled. They will be fattened. They will be satisfied forever. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Hearken, to listen, to hear, to be obedient. From the Hebrew, to be obedient. Hearken, be obedient. Be still and know that I am God. And this, I love this one. Be still. That still is to be dumb, to be catatonic. Alphas and betas, stop working. Stop talking to each other. Be still and know that I am God. Stop thinking. Just comatose and know that I am God. Because when we're not, we're getting in the way. If we're not, we're focused on ourselves. We're focused on our own plan. His plan is so much greater. Stop trying to please God and people around us. Just rest, relax, let it happen. These are not lies. This is the truth. This is his promise, his plan for us. And when we get distracted, all this other stuff happens. Under the circumstances? What are we talking about? We're over the circumstances. Any possible circumstance, we're over. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Another powerful scripture when you go to the original translation. Labor. Come unto me, all you that labor. Labors to grow weary, exhausted from toil or grief. To labor with wearisome effort. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Heavy laden translates to place a burden on, to load, to burden with rites and unwarranted precepts. Whoa. Come unto me, all you that labor exhausted, tolling. Think of a hamster in a cage. Ugh. And are heavy laden to burden with rites and unwarranted precepts. What are those rites and unwarranted precepts? It's our own stuff. It's our own rites, our own unwarranted precepts. Come to me, those of you that are running in that squirrel cage that think you can fix it yourself. Come to me. That was Matthew 11:28. Hebrews 4:11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Hebrews 4:11. And labor in that context is a whole different word. To hasten, to make haste, to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give diligence. So here we have labor in the first scripture as exhausting. Come to me, those who are exhausted. And then in the Hebrews, it says labor into that rest. Run to it. Hasten. Don't waste any time. Come running to this. Lest any may have fallen under the example. And then rest. Come into that rest. This rest is great. A putting to rest, a calming of the winds. The heavenly blessedness in which God dwells and of which he has promised to make preserving believers in Christ partakers of after the toils and trials of the earth have ended. That's the actual Greek translation of that rest in that context. The heavenly blessedness in which God dwells. It's like a space. It's like a place in which he has promised to make preserving believers in Christ partakers of. He's promised that we have a piece of this. We have a place there. After the toils and trials of this world are ended. Run to that rest. Labor after that rest. Stop laboring after the squirrel cage. Stop laboring after what we think is the solution. What we think is the plan. Throw away our own triptych. Pick up this one. This is the one that gets us to where we need to be. Amen? No matter how filled we become, God says there's more, abundantly more. It gets better and better every day. There's a pastor's story of an old woman who was a member of the congregation, member of the church for several years, and she was well into her years, and she was dying. She was passing away, and she called. She had a meeting with the pastor. She said, "When my time comes, I want you to bury me with a fork in my hand." And the pastor, that's kind of odd, and he goes, "Why do you want that?" And she said, "Because I have such fond memories of church events, and covered dishes, everybody bringing stuff, and at the end of the meal." They always said, keep your fork. And as a child, you knew there was some chocolate cake coming, some lemon meringue pie. So you wanted to keep that fork because there was better stuff coming. You know, when I'm laying in that casket, I want you to think about what's coming, what's after this life. And the pastor just broke down and cried because he knew that she had a better understanding than he did of what it means to walk with Jesus, what it means to be in the Word. The best is yet to come. Hold that fork. You know, the pot roast was okay, but man, that chocolate cake is better. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Done.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, and as is our way, when I preach, open discussion.
That's my way too.
Hallelujah. Thank you. And, you know, someone asked me last Sunday, what am I going to preach on? I said, he hasn't given it to me. If I tell you now, it's going to be me. And as of yesterday, all I had was Wellington. I mean, I had nothing. And you know, and as I was leaving for work, Maria, you know, goes, "You ready for tomorrow?" It's like, "I have Wellington." She goes, "What does that mean?" And so I, you know, I gave her a brief history. I don't know where that's going to tie in, you know. And I went to work yesterday. We had 5,000 people yesterday, beauty control, lunch and dinner. So needless to say, it was a busy day. But in the middle of feeding 5,000 people, lunch and dinner, he gave me this message. I mean, in little bits and pieces. I go to my desk, find a verse. Go to my desk, find a verse, and. I mean, it was just incredibly powerful because this, when you cry out, Abba Father, this kind of stuff happens. Without, I couldn't possibly have orchestrated or planned this in a day like I had yesterday without him. And that is the message. You know, I could have got up and said, under the circumstances, my day was busy yesterday. I don't have the message. Right? But I'm not under the circumstances.
Right.
You're not under the
That's
circumstances.
Right.
We're over the circumstances. Amen. Abba Father, how do I get to work? I have no gas. Focus on me. Okay. How do I preach tomorrow? I don't have a lesson. Focus on me.
That's right.
Okay. That's all it takes. It sounds so easy. Once again, I'm preaching myself because it seems like it'd be every day, but it's not. But we just pray that there's more and more of those days. As we get closer and closer, as we press in deeper and deeper, closer and closer to Him, that revelation knowledge becomes more and more. Those experiences become more often. You rely on Him more often. Driving 30 miles with no gas in the car. Crazy. Not when he's driving. Not when it's his triptych I'm following. It's not crazy.
Amen.
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 Please.
I just, man, once again, we almost didn't make it to church today because I woke up believing I was under the circumstances. But, man, I tell you, I'm just so glad that the Lord God is here today, and I got to hear this message. It was powerful. And all your prayers, just, you know, it's me and Susan have been getting overwhelmed, but we are just thankful for you guys and all the gifts and the love that you've sent our way. We really appreciate that. It means a lot to us. But that was a powerful word, and I'm glad we made it here. Amen.
It's great to realize that the battle's already won.
Amen.
And
Amen.
you
Amen.
Told me that today.
Amen.
And so, and I also want to tell you that God gave the word about, you know, focus on the prize for me.
Amen.
And so praise Him because
Amen.
He knows just what I need and when I need
Thank
it.
Thank you, Jesus.
So glory to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Great. Open discussion.
Great. Well,
you were talking about like focusing on the prize. I sent out this. I think there's an email circulating around, and it's of a father who has a handicapped, you know, I would say like paraplegic son, and I guess the son wanted to race, and so the father got very physically fit, and they did like a triathlon, and the son, it literally can't walk and he can't talk. But anyway, I sent this video to some people, and it will really make you bawl about the love of a father for the son, and the same way our father loves us. If that's an earthly father, how much more does our heavenly father love us? But the part about it, I was talking through email to Jack because I sent it to him, and I called him after he watched it, and he was crying too. And the part for me that always made me bawl was, you know, a triathlon means, you know, there's a part where you're biking and you're running and you're swimming, I guess, and he would have to put his paraplegic son in a raft is how they did that. And but when they cross the finish line, the son has his arm doesn't sit straight. It kind of just goes off like this to the side. And so they cross the finish line, and the look of glee on this son's face, and his dad is actually pushing him in like a wheelchair as they cross the finish line, and someone is waiting there, spraying him with water, and the son is just like, it's like his peak moment, you know, and it just reminds me of us, you know, that we are going to cross the finish line, and it's our Heavenly Father that's going to get us there. And how great His love is through all of these, you know, the things that we walk through in this world,
But the glory of that moment when we cross the finish line, no matter what we have slogged through in this life, that our Father is going to be glorified. So, well, in our flesh, yeah. But we have, you know, we have the living Christ in us. And I think sometimes it's so easy to focus on the weakness of our flesh. But Jesus Christ, the third person of the Godhead, lives in us, you know. And so sometimes it's easy to forget whose we are, you know, and who we're joined with.
I'd like to add a couple of things to that to amplify that a little bit. That video starts out when this young man is a baby, and his father is running with him, and he's got a raft. I don't know, it looks like they're swimming the English Channel or something. I don't know what they're doing, but he's got the kid in a raft, and he's swimming with this kid, and the video progresses until the child is he's a young man. I mean, I would say just by looking at him at the end of the video that he's probably in his 30s or 40s. And what, as Laura said, I think what I saw in this was that, you know, in my flesh, I'm a paraplegic. And my father has pushed me and pulled me and towed me through my life victoriously because he looked at my spirit. He looked at the real me that he had recreated and not at my flesh. And that's what that father did. He looked at his son's spirit. This was his boy. This was his child. Very moving.
Hey, next time I preach, can I have that effect, that echo effect? That's powerful. That's like the word of God. That's like the voice of God.
No, you may not.
I love that. Gleeful. At the finish line. I failed to mention while I was driving, I was smiling so much my face hurt. I mean, it was just, whoa, it was so cool. I mean, I was just smiling the entire way. I was gleeful before I finished because I knew I was going to win.
That's the victory. You know? When you have joy, you have victory.
Amen. Amen.
If there's no joy, there's no victory.
Hallelujah.
But when you have the joy ahead of time, the victory is already done.
Amen. 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 It's good.
I just said yesterday to somebody that when you look at man, you worry. And when you look at God, you worship.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Amen. It's good. It's good. It's all good.
Praise God.
It's all good. You know how you see those people that jump off cliffs with a parachute on their back? And there's a car commercial guy goes to work and he just jumps off the cliff? I mean, it's like jumping off that cliff without a parachute, but knowing you're going to land safely. I mean, enjoying the ride all the way down and knowing you're going to land safely. You're going to win. You know, that's the feeling. That's the feeling of knowing the victory. That's the joy of knowing the victory in advance. It's beyond description. It's so exhilarating. You can't even describe it. You're just smiling. It's just pouring out of you. It's just so exciting. Please.
You know, I've been thinking, you're always so encouraging, and you always inspire us to think in the supernatural. And I was thinking about these knees of mine after the fall, and I had to have an operation, and I couldn't. You know, I don't have insurance. I couldn't afford an operation, $30,000 to $40,000. And I just prayed. I didn't even try at first. I mean, this is not the way I wanted to be healed. I wanted instant, which I've had many times, and it wasn't working. So I just kind of gave up. You know, I thought, I can't do this. And Bible study, we've been back and forth with it, praying, and okay, God, do your thing. Nope, it wasn't happening. So, I mean, I believe I'm healed in him, but it was not an instant manifestation. So I just finally, the doctor said, you've got to have an operation. You know, you just don't have a choice. And I said, okay, God, you do it because I can't do this. This is absolutely impossible. And as it turned out, my doctor said, don't worry about it. I'm going to, you know, we'll take care of it and it'll be blah, 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 blah. The operation, including the hospital, the anesthesiologist, all of the stuff they do to you was $5,900. That was supernatural. That doesn't happen. You know, I didn't qualify for a charity case because I own a house. You know, I fell in the hole. I was in the crack. But God, I mean, this, my surgeon is the U.S. Olympic orthopedic surgeon. He did it for $2,000. So I just praise God. You know, we're created to live in the supernatural, whatever that means. I mean, this was supernatural. It wasn't the supernatural I wanted, but yet it's a testimony to someone else, you know. So praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right.
Okay, we're going to worship. We're going to. Yep. Yeah, Laura's got an announcement. Philip, if you could.
Those of you guys who might know Tricia Stevenson, can you, do you mind standing up for just a sec, Trish? Trisha is lives in